All right, so I want to talk today about, because this is the last Sunday of the month, I want to talk about finishing well and also starting strong. So, and because, see, the things of God are cyclical, you know, it's there are patterns of cycles that happens, and so it's important that we finish well for us to be able to start strong, right? It's not like the end of the line where we just kind of finish strong and we are done. No, we continue. And so I just want to pick up from the scriptures. I want to share from Judges chapter 13 to 16. And, you know, I'll just summarize the thing for you. It is the story of Samson. So let's just look to God in prayer, because I know that the Lord wants to minister something to us today. All right. So, Father, we just welcome your presence here, Holy Spirit. We ask that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds and touch our lives, God. We open up our spirits to you, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you will come and do that no man can do, O God. So we give ourselves to you again. We say, speak to us and move us and position us where you want us to be today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Judges chapter 13, I'm just going to read the first 5 verses, and after that we will just kind of, you know, summarize the verses. You can trust me on that and go home and read. You should read those few chapters. It's a very fascinating story. So Judges chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. It says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So the background of this story is that for 40 years they were oppressed by the Philistines. Okay? So it was time that Israel needed a deliverer. It was time that they had suffered long enough, and God was breaking in the midst of their problem, right? And so whenever there is a problem in the world, whenever there is a situation and God wants to bring deliverance to his people, there's always a certain man that God picks. I'm stealing Peter's phrase. He says, a certain man. Remember, he preached about that last time. So there's always a certain person or a family or an individual that God picks. And here it says, verse 2, now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And verse 3 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. I just want to take the liberty right here to just drift a little bit prophetically into it and just take those two phrases. Now, this woman, Manoah's wife, was barren, and she meets an angel of the Lord. It was a sovereign act of God. God intercepts her barren life, and he makes a declaration. So the angel of the Lord says to her, he says, now you are barren, you have no children, but you shall conceive. And I want to prophesy that no matter what your situation is, you can fill in the blank. Now you are, whatever it is, the ugliness of our situation, the futility of our situation, the difficulty of our situation, whatever it is, now you are, but the word of the Lord declares, but you shall, and whatever the promise of God was upon your life. Come on, can you say that? I did this as I was reading. Now I am. This is the fact that you're seeing in your life, but it's not the truth. The truth is the word of God. Facts don't define you. I love that song that messed me up so badly again every time. Abba, I belong to you. Your thoughts define me. I'm not defined. You're not defined by what the world says or what the people say or what, you know, even the lies that your own mind or your life says to you. We are defined by the thoughts of God. And the word of God says, the thoughts that I think towards you are good and not for evil. Come on. Hallelujah. And so you need to prophesy over yourself based on the word of God that now I am. This is my fact. I'm talking about the negative situations. You get that. Now I am, but I shall be whatever God has spoken over my life, whatever he has declared over my life, whatever he has promised, and whatever he has spoken in his word. Hallelujah. And then verse 4, let's continue on the story. Now therefore, the angel is speaking to the lady, the barren lady. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or other fermented drink, and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So this is the introduction for Samson the Great. And everybody knows Samson, right? This was the introduction. And he was saying that you will have a child, and the child shall be a Nazarite to God. I just want to say there is a difference between a Nazarite and a Nazarene. Like the Nazarene is the one who's from Nazareth, but Nazarite is a person who's taken a Nazarite vow. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But God had already spoken, prophesied about this child that God had planned as a deliverer for Israel at that time. That, you know, from the womb he would be a Nazarite, and he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Some people say that Samson was kind of a forerunner of David, just because, you know, Samson had the word of the Lord, and according to the plan of the Lord, he started the deliverance of the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines. And David's assignment was to complete it, you know, to finish the Philistines completely. Just like John the Baptist. So they compare Samson to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you know, prepared the way of the Lord, and then Jesus completed the actual assignment. But so this was the message that the angel of the Lord spoke. And now I want you, if you can go to the next thing, about the Nazarite vow, right? I want you to just read number 6 when you go back home. That's not the verse from Numbers, but number 6, verses 2 to 21 talks about the entirety of the Nazarite vow, you know, what it was about and all the details. But basically, it was a time that was set apart. Anyone who took a Nazarite vow, a man or a woman could take a Nazarite vow, but it was a time of separation and consecration to the Lord. And these were the terms of the Nazarite vow, okay? Mainly three things. One is that they should not drink any wine or fermented drink, or rather not participate in anything of the fruit of the vine, right? No raisins, no grapes, nothing. And the second thing was that they should not cut their hair. No razor can touch their hair. They could have their dreads, you know. It's not just a new thing. It was there back then, right? So that was the thing. And then number three, that they should not touch or even go near a dead body, because it would defile them. So are you getting me? Three things that was demanded of the Nazarite vow, all right? Now, the other thing about the Nazarite vow is that usually a person volunteers to do that. It was not mandatory for everybody. We can move to the next slide. It was something that was done voluntarily. But in Samson's case, God said he should be a Nazarite. And then the other thing was that usually people would take this vow for a period of time. They'll say, okay, for, you know, 6 months or for 2 years or for 10 years, whatever. They would take a period of time until when they would have the vow, and then the end of it, they would cut their hair and give an offering and all of that stuff, right? But in Samson's case, if you remember what we read in verses 4 and 5, the angel of the Lord said that he should be a Nazarite unto the Lord, which is God initiated that, set him aside, consecrated, you know, for the life and the assignment that was on his life. So that was necessary for him, right? And then not only that, God said that he will be a Nazarite from the womb, before he was born, all the way until he dies, he should be a Nazarite. So it was a lifelong commitment for him, not just a time period. And I need you to remember that, right? It was a life God called. And see, that's what happens sometimes. I was thinking about this, you know. You've probably heard me say this before. I've said it. God keeps me on a shorter leash than other Christians, at least the ones that my friends and others. And sometimes I think that's not fair. They get away with some things. How come I do the same thing and then, you know, that's not okay with the Holy Spirit? But sometimes, because of the call of God on your life, not because something is wrong or something is, you know, like, you, God just has, the Holy Spirit has a greater demand on your life. And I will go into this a little more in detail. I just because part of what I feel the Holy Spirit, the Lord is leading us or speaking about the coming year, consecration is a great word, and I'll talk more about that in New Year's Eve service. But for today, I just want us to think about Samson, and God had him demanded a consecrated life right from the womb, and that's why he had told even the mother. In fact, if you read the story, the father, you know, says, can that angel appear to me again? He prays, and then the angel appears to him, and then his whole goal was not to see the angel or to hear the message again. He already believed it. This is the father, okay, Manoah. He had already believed it, but he had one question. If this child is going to make a difference, how are we to raise this child up? What are some of the things that we need to do so that this child can be raised up in the right way? And the angel of the Lord says, well, you guys need to consecrate yourselves too. That as a mother who was going to carry this child in the womb, she had to separate herself. She had to consecrate herself. She could not partake of the wine and all of the other stuff. So it was like from the womb of the mother right up to that was God's call on Samson's life. So I wanted to go, if you can go to the next slide. Verse 24 of the same chapter, chapter 13 of Judges says, so the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child, now notice I put that in red, the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And verse 25 says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. The Lord blessed him. He grew up. But the Lord blessed him and the Spirit of God began to move upon him. Okay, we need to remember that. Okay, let's go over to the next slide. Now, recapping, God's purpose in raising Samson up was to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the oppressors, which is the Philistines. All right? And that's what I've just repeated that verse there. Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and he will begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So, the next slide. After 40 years of being oppressed, God raises up Samson. God blessed him. We read that in verse 24. The Spirit of God moved upon him. We read that in verse 25. He judged or led Israel for 20 years. In chapter 15, verse 20, and then again in chapter 17, towards the end, you'll see how we skip that sometimes when we talk about the story of Samson. That Samson was one of the judges of Israel. And he led and judged Israel for 20 years. So he was a, you know, leader. Right? He won many victories for Israel and performed many feats through God. So as judge and leader, those days judges not just judged, but you remember Deborah, they would lead people to victory and in battles and all of that against their enemies. So Samson was in many ways a superhero. He was a, you know, political leader. He was a national figure. He just led his, you know, battles and won them. In fact, I put a few examples, you know, some of the amazing things that Samson did. If we can go to the next verse. This was one of the times when he was going, forget the background of the story, but you can read that later. But a lion came against him. And the Bible records that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his, come on church, read it with me, bare hands. And that's not the interesting part. Look at the verse after the continuation. It says, as he might have, just stay in the, as he might have done a young goat. Now, okay, I don't care how big the goat was. How easy is it to rip apart a young goat with your bare hands? So this just shows that those things were very common for Samson. He was powerful, he was strong. But when the lion came against him, he just tore it apart. The Spirit of God came upon him. Of course, it's empowered by the Spirit of God. And he tore the lion apart. Hallelujah. Look at another scripture in Judges 15, 14 and 15. One time he was, you know, bound and the Philistines came against him. Verse 14 says, they came shouting at him. Okay, verse 14 says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax. I just picture him, you know, flexing his muscles and boom, the ropes just break off, right? And And then it says, finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down only 1,000 men. Look, this dude was something. He finds, what can I find here, right? He finds the fresh jawbone of a donkey. And he slays 1,000 men single-handedly, right? No guns, no machine gun, nothing. Just jawbone of a donkey, all right? And he does this. So these are some of the feats he done. He was famous in Israel for that. He experienced some miracles. If we can go to the next slide, you'll see. One time he was thirsty and he was surrounded by the Philistines and he thought he's going to die, no water. And he prayed to the Lord and he said, God, after giving me all these great victories, don't let me die of thirst. What shame, right? So he prays to God and God splits open that place and gives him water. So he's one who had encounters and miracles he experienced, you know, in the hand of God. So he drank and strengthened himself. Now, so we know he was blessed by God. Spirit of God hovered over him. He did mighty exploits. He led Israel. He experienced miracles. He experienced answers to prayers. But fast forward a couple of chapters later. I want you to read this, and then we'll see what happened. So let's look a little later. If you can go to the next slide. Chapter 16, verse 21. Then the Philistines... Okay, this is fast forwarding the story. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in prison. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, making a declaration, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And continue to read. Verse 24 and 25, it says, when the people saw him, they praised their God. This is the Philistines, okay? And here's their praise to their God. Our God has delivered our enemy, in bracket Samson, into our hands. The one who laid waste our land. See, this is what was his exploit. The one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain. This was what Samson had done to them. And now he was in the prison, grinding grain, and people were singing, making songs about our God has delivered this hero into our hands, right? While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison and he performed for them. In my sanctified imagination, what way did he perform for them? Maybe they made him lift some heavy weights. Maybe they made him do some things which ordinary human beings couldn't do. But they made him perform. So the strength and the gifting that the Spirit of God had bestowed upon him was now used to entertain the enemy. And that happens sometimes. The Holy Spirit gifts us with things and with supernatural gifts and supernatural strength and ability to do things which other people can't do, and we are uniquely blessed. And sometimes when we are not in the ways of God, we are captive to the enemy, and then there we are using the same gift that God gave us, but we are entertaining the enemy. Come on. Does that strike a chord? Like, that's painful. This had become his situation. Now I want to know, so what happened? What happened from that guy who was a superhero, that was prophesied about, that was spoken about, that was blessed, that did great exploits, and he led a nation? And then what happened that today he was blind, his eyes were gouged out, and he was fettered in chains and all that? You know, how does a judge, deliverer, national hero and leader fall down to this level, right? He was one who had prophesied about and raised in a godly... he was raised in a godly home. Raised by godly parents. Raised in the right way. Right? He experienced all this. How did he end up like this? I want you to go to the next slide, and I want to talk about an invisible enemy called compromise. Compromise. See, Samson didn't move from being this amazing hero to boom, one day they came and caught him. It didn't happen. It was slow. It was subtle. It was compromise after compromise after compromise that brought him there. So I dare to say that Samson lost his spiritual vision long before he lost his natural eyes. And we'll see that. He was captive to his lusts, the lusts of the flesh, before he became an actual captive of the enemy. And he had betrayed his own values. He had betrayed his covenant with God. He had betrayed God long before Delilah betrayed him. He was in covenant with those that he was supposed to kill. Remember, the purpose of his life was that God had raised him up so that he can deliver Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. And here he finds himself sleeping with the enemy, right? Compromise, if we can go to the next slide. Compromise is always costly. It's always costly. And we always think, oh, just a little thing, just, you know. But when black and white, the lines get blurry and it becomes gray, there is a price we pay for compromise. Can you just tap someone and say, there is a price for compromise? Come on, this is a serious thing. There's always a price. And so Samson's life was full of compromise. And I want to quickly just show you that, you know. His eyes and his heart had wandered beyond the boundaries of God's word. Not just the eyes, our hearts. It starts with the eyes, you know, then the heart gets hooked in that. You know, it was more than just Delilah. See, listen, when we talk about Samson, often we think of, oh, it's Delilah. But see, Delilah was kind of the last thing that happened to him. Compromise had come long before Delilah came into his life. And I want you to see that, right? He was flirting with sin way before he started flirting with Delilah, right? He gave room to pride. That's interesting too. And he ignored the warning signs. So, if we can go to the next slide, I'll just run through this quickly. Judges 14, 1 to 3. It says, Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Philistine woman. I underline Philistine because he was supposed to kill the Philistines. Here he sees a Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me. Let me fast forward the story to you. His parents said, hey, listen, why do you want to this uncircumcised relationship with this uncircumcised woman, right? People of, you know, the Philistines, why can't you find a good girl among the covenant people? And he said, nope, that's the one I want, because she pleased my eyes. Come on, you know, I like her. What's wrong? You know, he forgot the covenant that he had with God. So next one more thing. Judges chapter 16 verse 1. Okay, so that story ends badly. We don't even have time to go into that, you know, when he saw that woman from Timnah and wanted to marry her and had marriage and all that, and that ended in disaster. Next, after that marriage, Judges chapter 16 verse 1. One day Samson went to Gaza. Gaza is where the Philistines are. I have a question. Hello, Samson, what are you doing in Gaza? Right? He went down to Gaza where he saw a prostitute. He went in to spend the night with her. Okay, this is not Delilah. This is not the wife from Timnah. This is another woman. Okay, Judges chapter 16 verse 4. Sometime later, he fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. The famous Delilah of the Samson and Delilah story. Now, what was happening was he was letting his eyes wander and his heart wander beyond the covenant, beyond the word of God that he was not supposed to do. It didn't happen just once or twice or three times, but it was an ongoing thing. He was pushing the boundaries beyond what he should. And so compromise had set in. He was treating the word of God casually. So Samson had a problem with women, but it was not just women. Remember the Nazirite vow? We know the story about the hair. He was not supposed to cut his hair. But there was also this other third part about the Nazirite vow that he's not supposed to touch or go near anything dead. Now here it says in Judges chapter 16 verse 1. Sorry, in Judges 14 verses 8 to 9. Judges 14, 8 to 9. Sometime later when he went back to marry her, that's a girl from Timnah, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. And in it he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate as he went along. When he rejoined his parents, he gave them some and they too ate it. But he did not tell them that he had taken the honey from the lion's carcass. Now remember the lion that he had killed? The Spirit of God had come upon him and he killed that lion that was coming against him. But you know, after some time, you know, coming back that way, he thought, let me just look at that lion that I killed. And my next point is about pride. Why would he want to go and look at it? You know, but anyway, he goes, looks at it and finds a swarm of bees. And he reaches over, takes the honey, and he eats it. And he even gives it to his parents. And it was from, he had defiled himself. He touched the dead body. So compromise had entered, not just women, but also in other things that God had told him not to do. Right? He broke covenant. He did this. And then later in the next slide, you'll find, I'm just going to just say it instead of reading it, that there was so much pride in his heart, we can see, of the exploits that he did, because he makes a riddle out of this, you know, out of this lion and the honey, and he challenges some of his friends and says, let's see if you can, you know, you can solve this riddle. And he says, out of the eater, something to eat, you know, out of dead, something sweet. Right? And he made this nice little riddle, and he was saying, let's see if you can solve this riddle. And story you can read later, but they do end up, you know, finding the secret through his wife from Timnah, and they solve the riddle. But there was pride in his heart. That's why he was doing this, right? So there was compromise with women. There was, you know, breaking covenant by touching dead things. There was pride in his heart. And then, of course, you know, because his first marriage had failed, I present to you that he had a lot of unhealed hurts. I'll tell you why. Because we see constantly, you can go home and read this, not just Delilah, but the other lady too. They nag him. They ask him, oh, you don't love me. That's why you didn't tell me this secret. And he gives in. He's always trying to prove, oh, I really do love you. You understand, this is such a parallel with us. When we are insecure, when we have unhealed wounds and hurts in our lives, we're always trying to prove to someone else that we are worth loving. We're always trying to prove to this one person that we think, you know, is going to love us, that, oh yeah, I really love you, baby. Honey, I love you so much. And we bend, you know, and rules, and we compromise on the things of God just because we are not healed, because we don't know that God's thoughts about us are for good. We don't understand that our security and our identity comes from God. That song that we sang today, your thoughts define me. Not because the world says I'm whatever it is, you know, too this or too that or too less or too more, whatever, right? And so Samson was in many ways, you know, because of the unhealed hurt in his life, the first wife who betrayed him, she had actually betrayed him with this riddle and all that stuff. But there were unhealed issues in his life, and that's why he goes from relationship to relationship to relationship. Sorry, I don't have time to go there now, but I wanted to think about it. And he ends up with Delilah, and guess what? You know, she's putting him to sleep on her lap, and the whole time. Now, this is funny. You got, fast forward the story, you all know. Delilah will always say, what is the secret of your strength, honey? And then he just kind of, you know, says, hey, if you tie me with some cords, you know. And then she goes and tells the Philistine rulers, tie him with some cords. And they come, and it's interesting because Delilah will say, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. As though it really mattered to her. And then they come, and then Samson breaks it. Now, the first time is okay, the second time is okay. After that, he's got to be stupid to a level, next level stupid. To tell her again, and again, and again, every time. I mean, this woman asks him, and then she says, oh, the Philistines are upon you. And then next time, come on, honey, lay on my lap, and I'll tell you. Now tell me, if you really love me, tell me the secret of your strength. How many times? But listen, we are laughing. But if you look carefully, there are patterns in your life and in my life, definitely. In many ways, that we stay stuck in a pattern. Dysfunctional pattern. Things, because we are not completely healed, because we are looking for security and love in other things or other people. We compromise. And we lie to ourselves. You know, heart is deceitful and wicked above all else, the Bible says in Jeremiah. But we fool ourselves. And he continues this many times over. And then finally one day, Delilah nagged him continuously, constantly, One day, it was one too many. Can we go to the next slide? One too many. See, when we push the boundaries and we keep repeating repetitively wrong things and we don't get caught or, you know, it's okay. And then one day, it's just a bit too late. One day, it's over. Whether you're breaking rules and driving or whatever it is, one day, it's a bit too late. It's the oops moment. But it's a bit too late. And see, Judges 16 and 17 says, with such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death. And he told her everything. No razor has touched my hair. If you cut my hair, my strength is gone. Fast forward. Don't you think now? Of course, she calls the Philistines. They cut his, she has his hair cut. It was the most expensive haircut in the history of the world. It really was. He lost everything. The most precious thing, if we can go to the next slide. The most precious thing that we have is the Spirit of God. It says, after putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off and his strength left. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. It's not the first time. And then, here's the sad thing. We ought to be crying. He awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. This happened so many times, right? But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Because all the other times, he kind of played with sin and kept getting his feet wet. Just a little bit. All the gray areas. All of a sudden, the Spirit, and he didn't even realize. He didn't even realize because the compromise is like the frog in hot water, you know, they say. You put a frog in water and you boil the water because of, you know, the temperature. The frog does not feel the heat. It's like slowly, it's very slow. And then then it dies. Boiled to death without, he could have jumped out long back. Right? That's how we are. And the Philistine seized, that's where the verse comes. Philistine seized him, gouged out his eyes and got him grinding in the mill. Now, just hold it there for a second. This seems kind of a severe or serious message for the last Sunday of the year. But it's a fact of the word, right? This is recorded for us, right? But I don't want to bring this today, and God doesn't want to bring this today as condemnation or as like make you feel guilty. This, I declare to you, is an invitation. Can you tap someone and say it's an invitation? And I'll tell you what the invitation is about. Okay, let's go to the next slide. But God. Just say, but God with me. But God. God never gives up. God does not go back on his promises. His purposes are eternal. His plans are for sure. And he will always triumph. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. He is the covenant keeper. We are the covenant breakers, but he is the covenant keeper. We are unfaithful, but he's faithful. That's why the word of God says that he abides faithful even when we are faithless, because he cannot deny himself. His word can never fail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Now what happened was God already had planned his return. The great comeback for Samson. He had already planned it. He had orchestrated this for him. So if you look in Judges chapter 16, verse 22, after he was grinding the mill and his eyes were gouged out, you know, this blind Samson going round and round grinding the mill, this heavy mill that 25 people could actually, would take 25 prisoners to do, maybe 50 prisoners, but he was doing it by himself. His strength was used in the enemy camp. He was captive. He had fetters and he was blind. He had lost everything. But the word of God declares, but the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now this is more than hair, you understand. This is talking about a situation that is conducive for us to return to God. And I declare to you that the blood of Jesus was shed 2,000 years ago on Calvary's tree so that we can return back to him anytime, as long as it is called today. As long as we have breath upon our lips, We can turn back to Him. We can repent. God already makes the provision. He makes the situation conducive for us to return back to Him. See, God is not waiting to tell Samson, I saw it when you went to that girl, and I saw that when you did that, and I saw it when you used the honey and you were like debating about it. He's like, my son needs to come back to me. He's waiting with the robe and the ring. He's waiting with arms open wide. He's made a provision. All He wants is for us to return, to repent, so that, and He's made it conducive. So His hair was already grown and God was waiting. I wonder if my son will call back to me, whether he will repent, whether he will return. Is he going to call out to me? And if he does, I don't want him to be shaved. If he does call back to me, I want everything in place that he will be able to get back, not just where he was, but more than what he ever was. God does allow U-turns. Can you tap someone and say, God does allow U-turns? So, if you look at the next slide, it says, Samson prayed to the Lord. So, I'm fast forwarding the story. You know, he was brought in and he had this little guy lead him by the hand. A blind fellow can't see, and he was put between two pillars, right? And mind you, flashback, one time he had lifted two pillars off a city gate where Philistines were waiting. It was in Gaza, waiting to arrest him. He had lifted out the whole city gate and the pillars and carried it on his shoulders and came. Same Samson, blind now, enemy, tied him, fettered him, and he's got both his hands on the on the pillars that supported this entire Colosseum, where the Philistines would watch and make fun of him. But Samson's hair had grown. Samson received the grace. He stirred up his memory and he probably told himself, I know that my God is a merciful God. I know that if I just turn, if I just call to my God, He will answer. Come on, church. Call upon me and I will answer you. That's what the Word of God declares. No matter how far we have gone off the radar, no matter how far, how badly we've done things, if we return, He is there to answer. And He says that Samson prayed and said, Sovereign Lord, remember me. He says, please God, strengthen me just once more. Just one more time. And then, fast forwarding, he says, then he pushed with all his might. And down came the temple on the rulers. And you know the story. But here's the thing. I've put that in red. Thus, he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Come on. Samson messed it. He sinned. He went off the radar. Went beyond the boundaries of where God had for him. But in the end, when he called upon God, when his confidence was in God, when he exercised his faith to repent. Listen, it takes faith to repent because you feel like a rug rat. Oh, how many times can I repent? And the enemy will lie to you and say, oh, you're doing it again. You're going to repent. Listen, repentance, when we mean it, it is powerful. The blood of Jesus is powerful. Don't let the devil ever lie to you. Come on, say, the devil is a liar. He will lie to us and say, that doesn't work. How many times are you going to do it? God's going to be so mad at you. God is really, you're gone case. God's not going. No, the blood of Jesus has more power to forgive sins than the power of sin to hold you there. Come on. One day I was just worshiping God and I said, and I was praising God for the blood of Jesus. And I said, you know, the blood of Jesus has greater power. The washing power or the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus is way greater than the stain of sin upon our lives. Come on. The enemy doesn't have as much power to hold you down as much as God has the power to release you. Come on. Just one prayer away. One call away. Hallelujah. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And so we see that Samson, in spite of all the mistakes, he finished well. He finished well because by faith he stepped into repentance. By faith he stepped into the grace that was available. And that's why you find that in Hebrews chapter 11, which we call the book of you know, the hall of faith of all these people of faith. Let's go over to the next. Yeah, that right there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32. See, Samson made it to the hall of fame after all the stupid things that he did. You know why? Because he decided to end well. Because he accessed the grace that was available. It says, verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 11. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel. See, he was in the same category as all these other heroes of faith. And it says, who through faith conquered. So this was about faith. That means Samson had the faith, right? Conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies, including the Philistines. Hallelujah. Can you put your hands together for the great God that we serve? Hallelujah. He finished well. Hallelujah. And this is my last slide. And I want to make this point. By faith, we can repent and return. By faith, we can receive grace to overcome. By faith, we can continue with God, no matter where we are at. By faith, we can finish 2019 well. By faith, we can start strong in 2020. So I don't care where you are at today. I don't care how much you messed up in 2019. I don't care how far away you've been from God. But today, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, come back, you can still finish well. There is still time to call upon Him. There is still power in the grace and the blood of Jesus. So if we can just, no matter how much we messed up, if we just return to God in faith today, you will be one who finishes well. You will be one who's been in the records of God as one who finished 2019 well. And then when you finish well, you get the necessary leverage to start strong in 2020. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you stand up? Like I said, this is not a condemnation message. This is an invitation. If you have messed up, this is an invitation. And if you've never messed up, hey, glory to Jesus, rejoice in the God that we celebrate, the God that we worship, because He can do much more than what we ask or think of or imagine. So today, just speak out to God. I want you to take this moment, step out in faith. This moment, by faith, receive grace for whatever it is that you need. For forgiveness of sins, for empowering, for the word of God to come alive in our lives, for us to be fruitful, whatever it is, the grace of God is available today. The Bible says in John that He gave us grace upon grace. So much grace. So much grace. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss the moment. I'm going to ask David if you can come and do, and the team. We want to close with this one song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just stay focused. Give Him your attention for a few minutes. Say, God, here I am. Here I am. And I believe that God might be inviting some of you to even be like a Nazirite in your own way. Like, consecrate yourself. I'm not talking about the hair and the dead body and the wine and all that. I'm talking about separating ourselves for the purposes of God. Come on. There is a call of the Spirit that demands a lifestyle of separation unto God so that He can show forth His glory. It's all about Him. There is a purpose for which God has placed us on earth. So I want you to just pray and say, God, here I am. Whatever your purpose is, I'm here to fulfill it. So Father, we thank You. We thank You that Your Spirit is still available, that Your blood still cleanses and forgives, that You stand with open arms for us, that there is so much grace for us, Lord. We receive it today by faith. Come on, by faith, we receive it. We receive it. I receive it by faith, oh God. Come on.